All right. We're going to continue on teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. It's just sort of eliminating a lot of the basic stuff that you know, but stuff that's important to remember is good. John 15 and verse 8 says, "When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine." Jesus can express himself to the world only through the fruit that the branches produce. Wow. People can only know the kindness and the goodness of God, as Johanna shared this morning with the person she was talking to, through us. They can only experience God through us. And when we do acts of love for them and pray for them, which is what Kathy did for me, that extra love that came from her spirit was the very love of God, which I could then sense and the Holy Spirit made me aware of in my heart. And I realized she had something I needed, but I didn't understand what it was. And so as we're doing, the bigger the act of love that we do, the more that the person is removed from God, the more that the Holy Spirit can work with that. And just acts of love, encouraging people, strengthening people. Jesus said, when you do this for one of them, you've done it for me. Because this is the only way that he can express himself to them is through us. So bearing fruit, bearing the character of Jesus is so very, very important, the fruit of the Spirit. And that he has chosen us so that we can bear much fruit, fruit that would last. Can people tell the difference between you now and before you were saved? I wrote a statement down here, probably a question that the Lord asked me, but I'll ask you the same question. Many times, are we still quick to give our opinion instead of his character? We have a lot of knowledge about God, but people themselves have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, or think they do. And they don't really care what you know until they know how much you care. And so it's good to share the wisdom that you have about God, but do it in the character of God is so important. And I think sometimes we don't stop to think. We have to develop peace and patience in our hearts, mercy, goodness, thankfulness, all of these things. And if we develop them, then we're not so quick to give them all of our wisdom and do it in a godly manner, which is so important for what God wants to do. While we are still, in the flesh, there will always be those things which try to influence us to stop seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. So Jesus can express himself to the world only through the fruit that the branches produce. It is only through Christian conduct that he can be revealed. Is your life showing the world his nature? Do you desire more of his love and character to be evident in your life? It sounds like a demanding thing, and it is, because we have to die to the old self. There's the whole put off the old man and put on the new man. But there's the whole thing about, Ted, can we have our diagram up this morning? There's the whole thing about what God accomplished through Jesus on the cross for us, which is the new birth. And as we said, that we don't live by the law anymore, because all the law did was incite the sinful nature. But if we can develop this fruit of the Spirit in our lives, through our heart and through our body to others, then we start to live above all of this. And the teaching in Romans chapter 6, Paul says, consider yourself dead to this once and for all, because we died with Christ, and alive to this once and for all. Well, to do that, what goes with that teaching is our new identity in Jesus Christ, the new creation. We are accepted and beloved. He is our healer, but we have to get to know him as our healer. We have to get to know him as our provider. We have to get to know him as our patience. We have to get to know him as El Shaddai through actually bearing that fruit. I used to be very impatient. I had to pick the kids up from school and they weren't where they were supposed to be, and I had to wait 20 minutes. Where is that kid? Darn, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind when they get here. I got no time to sit around here and wait. Well, instead of doing that, I started practicing patience. I just worship and praise the Lord, because me getting angry was going to make them come any quicker. And then when they showed up, it made things even worse because I'd all worked up by then. So we have to practice these things. Practice patience. Practice love. So I'm going to the Preston Ministerial now. I'm practicing keeping my mouth shut. Because they wouldn't be able to handle what I had to say anyways. So I got to learn to develop relationships better. But when I first started working with the ministerial in Cambridge, when I came to town, I would just blurt out truth, you know. But they couldn't handle it. And they, you know, they just didn't know what to do with it. And they thought I was weird and all of this stuff. But anyways, and so it's the fact that we have to grow in this character. And the more we grow in the character, people will be attracted to you and they will listen to you more, especially with family. How quick aren't we to tell family our wisdom? How quick aren't they to tell us, don't bug me, shut up. Because when I know my family, before I was saved, we always functioned a certain way, and they still do because they don't really understand the fruit of the Spirit. And they're not bad people. They just never changed their character. They worked hard, and they didn't, you know, they're basically good. But it's easy. I don't say too much anymore when I'm going to visit four or five of my brothers and sisters this afternoon. But I usually don't say too much. I just wait for opportunities when I can share some wisdom that might help them, or get them alone one-on-one and talk to them a little bit. But I was always quick to, all of us were quick to give a quick answer and give our opinion and all of those things. We have to learn to have wisdom in our speech, be as wise as serpent, as harmless as doves, depending where they're at and how to speak to them or how to address the situation in line with their character and so forth. But just showing love to them. I did that with my one sister, who's an Anglican, who believes the Bible is not relative to today because she doesn't really understand it's the Word of God. Like, they don't think things through because they're just in a religious system and they're not seeking God because they don't know they're supposed to. But she said one day, how come, or she was surprised, or she made the expression that you treat your wife so well, the other brothers don't do that. I just said, well, I guess we're still in love. But she could see the difference, because some of my brothers will just bark orders or say it, and I'll ask Kathy, honey, did you want to do this or that? But they just say, well, let's get going, you know, type of thing. But she noticed the difference. So our life has to show that we are different. It's harder with family because they just always remember the old you. And I still function with family, you know. It's not like I'm a totally different person or something other than what I'm doing and what I believe, but they don't want to know what I believe. But I'm different in my heart, and they start to notice that. But they always ask me to pray over the meal when we go for supper. And, you know, all of these things. So there is a change, but it hasn't yet equated into asking questions or me allowing them to talk to them about God. But anyways, eventually that will come. But it's something we have to keep developing within our own hearts. So it may seem difficult, but what can we do? We can make a decision to follow Jesus in every circumstance of life, and we can ask the Father for help. I think it's something that we have to be conscious of, because if we stop being conscious of trying to be like Jesus, then after a while we just sort of slip into the atmosphere of the surrounding around us and the people around us, and we slowly get sucked into that, or we're afraid to say something because they might think negative of us or call us a Bible thumper or whatever. But it's still, if we just show the acts of love that we need to show, we're bearing fruit. And, you know, when the crisis comes and you go through it calmly as a test, then they'll see that. And they'll come and ask you for advice. It may not happen in a day, a week, a month, or 3 months. But people are watching. They see how you act. They perceive. Boy, that person never gets rattled. Boy, they went through this and this and this, and they're still smiling. What's wrong with them? How did they do this? And they have a crisis in their life, and then they'll let you speak into their life because they've seen something different about you. They don't realize it's the character of Jesus. But they need answers. The world needs answers. Like the woman that came to Johanna. You know, and then came back and apologized. You don't deserve that. You're so good all the time. But that woman couldn't see her own goodness because she's always been so negative. But she saw the goodness in Johanna. And as Johanna said, oh, it's just Jesus working through me. And so it's always trying to develop that. And it's the process of that is beneficial for us because we become more like them. But it shouldn't be just for selfish reasons. I mean, that happens, but we should be servants and carriers of the very life, character, and the power of God. And when people see that and ask for prayer, then our prayer will have more effect. All right, so it's very important that we develop the fruit of the Spirit. I want to look at some scriptures today. I'm sort of going through this course that we have, but I'm skipping a lot of stuff because it's just a lot of stuff that you realize. But we want to study the fruit of the Spirit. We need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is our ultimate example. So let's look at some scriptures here. Ephesians 1 and verse 22, which are so powerful. All of them are powerful. And I think what we want you to realize, or what it says about the fullness of Jesus. Paul says, for this reason I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. But then you have to live it to experience him. But you can't live it without the knowledge. This woman that Johanna was talking to had no knowledge of God whatsoever or of his character, no revelation of what he was like. And she was beating herself up, and God never would do anything for her. Wow, Jesus died for her, and everything's there for her. She just doesn't realize it. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Incomparably great power for us who believe. Power to change our lives. Power of the new birth. Power for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Power to heal. Power to cast out demons. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. That same power is available to us. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. All the power of the throne of the universe, all the power that created the universe, all the power of the character of God is available to us. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The fullness of Jesus, the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Godhead is in us. But he doesn't force us to do anything. We have to submit to that. But the power that's inside each one of us, the ability to change our lives as we become obedient to him. That's why we teach the three foundational principles of Christian life, which is a revelation in your heart of righteousness by faith, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. And that opens up the whole area of grace, and your heart can then start to accept everything that Christ has done for you, even though you still got to work it into your life. The revelation gives you the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom that comes from God, comes through that, and how to apply that to your life. Otherwise, it's still only head knowledge. But the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. How much, is another question for us, how much are we aware of the fullness of God living in us on a daily basis? I mean, to have the revelation of that and keep the revelation of that, to meditate on that every morning, I think that's one of the things that would be very powerful in our lives, is to take a few scriptures like that and meditate on them every morning. Remind yourself every morning, Holy Spirit, keep reminding me that the fullness of God is in me. And in me, I have all the patience that I need. I have all the kindness that I need. I have all the sacrificial love that I need for every circumstance and situation. It's inside of me. I just have to decide that I'm going to die to myself and live that by faith, because it's in there. I have all the patience that I can go the extra mile with every person that I work with. If we don't realize that, or we don't make an effort to work at that, then we will be overtaken by all the attitudes, opinions, and everything around us, and all the abuse that we may have to take, or all the things people will say about us. And then we'll start to react in the flesh, in the sense that we get upset, we get angry, we get an attitude towards them, we're hurt, we don't forgive them, because we get caught up in the circumstance and the situation, and we forget that the greatest person in the universe, our Heavenly Father, lives inside of us in all of his fullness. And I know you all understand that, and I understand it too, but I don't always think that way. Even Elijah, after he killed the 400 prophets of Baal, he ran away from Jezebel and said, I'm the only one, and everyone's trying to kill me. God said, no, I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. But living in the Spirit takes time, it takes effort, it takes staying in the Word. Anyways, we're just trying to stir up your heart here this morning. Ephesians 3 and 19. Because these scriptures, we have to keep strong within us so that we can even make an attempt to walk in the character of God on a more regular basis. Because we're so used to us as we are, even though we've grown, we're still used to us, and we're still not like Jesus. So we have to keep reminding ourselves that the power of the universe is within us. The greatest teacher in the universe is living within us. He will lead and guide us into all truth. And as we grow more in patience, then when somebody ticks us off, instead of reacting right away, we'll stop and think. And the Holy Spirit will help you. I'm not going to get upset. I'm just going to love this person. There's times where I've had people that I knew were full of pride and just looking to give me a hard time, and I would tell Kathy, I'm going to fix that person. I'm just going to love the heck out of them until that pride starts to leave. I just was determined, no matter what they did or said, I was just going to love them. If you got, you know, and that's sort of one of the better ways to deal with these issues. If you got somebody in your life that just aggravates you, go and love them. Do something for them. Take them out for a coffee. Talk with them, even though they aggravate you. And just love them and pray for them. And that's when you grow the most. And then when other people bother you a little bit, it's no big deal. You just love them automatically because you've been trained by someone who really didn't care about you and thought you were an idiot. I remember when our daughter Kim had a job working at Mark's warehouse, work warehouse, and she had a boss that was pretty ornery and giving her a hard time, and you know, she'd come home and tell us about that, and you know, we'd feel bad for her and try to encourage her. She'd say, "Oh, don't worry about it. I had Grandpa and Opa to train me. I'm used to that." Ephesians 3 and 19. Let's start in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow. How about you? gives me goosebumps. To know this love that surpasses knowledge. The world cannot understand this kind of love, this sacrificial love, that when you attack them or when they attack you in love, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That'd be a good scripture to read every morning, wouldn't it? That's a great prayer to pray for others, to pray for yourself. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen me with power through your Spirit in my inner being. Personalize it so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, Father. And I pray that me, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and how high and deep the love of Christ is. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Kathy prayed these prayers for me every day before I got saved. Then God told her she was going to be married to a minister, and she said, "When Hank dies, I'm not getting married again." There was a misconnection there somehow. Ephesians 4 and 13. Let's start in verse 12. This is the fivefold ministry: to prepare God's people for works of service so that we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Fullness of Christ. The fullness of Christ. Filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. The fullness of Christ. Wow. This is why the Apostle Paul said that I may be found in him, having no righteousness of my own. As soon as we think that we're somebody or that we're good or that we've accomplished something, we are starting to think about self and who we are. And Paul said that I may be found in Christ, having no goodness of my own, always being dependent on Christ, and press on for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul said that I may experience him in his death so that somehow I may attain unto the resurrection from the dead. He was talking about spiritual growth in Christ. And even Philippians says, always think more highly of others than you do of yourselves. Doesn't mean that they are better. It's just that we should think that way because it keeps us humble. Humility, God releases his grace through humility. And through humbleness, we can grow more. We want to grow more, but the more that we grow, the more humbleness that we need. All the fruit of the Spirit has to be developed in us. We can't just allow the easier ones to be developed in us. They were all difficult for me. I had no patience. I was a wild man. I didn't have any understanding. I needed all the fruit of the Spirit. And so they all need to be developed. Verse 14 then says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here. So it's talking about growing in the fullness of Christ so that we are mature, so that we're not children blown back and forth by different doctrines, and that we may have the full character of Christ, the fullness of him, and that we may know the love, that we're rooted in love, that it surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, the fullness of God. So the Bible instructs us that we can be filled with the fullness of God. So then it is possible. And we'll never attain unto that in this life, probably. But it's there for us to keep pressing on for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And this is then developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So these scriptures are foundational to keep us thinking and realizing that the fullness of Christ is in us and it is attainable. And so we should never stop growing. No matter how old we are, we can bear fruit in our old age and we can bless others with the character of Jesus in us, no matter how old we are. And the exciting part is that Jesus always stays fresh in us that way too. And we know that we will have a rich welcome when we get to heaven. Wow. I'm not sure what that all means in experience because I've never been to heaven yet, but I know it's going to be good. Really, really good. Better than anything this world has to offer, that's for sure. Colossians 1 and 19. Colossians 1 and verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus. And let's start in verse 15. This is also good. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Wow. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. In him, the church is held together. When we have church splits, there's some people that are not in him. They're in him spiritually speaking, but they haven't developed in him. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy, for God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. Jesus was given the Spirit without measure, and the fullness, the Father in me, he does the works. Jesus said, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. Can we say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus? I know I can't. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood and shed on the cross. Wow. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ. That's a powerful scripture. So, the other way of reading this is, all the fullness of deity lives in you in bodily form. If we really had the full revelation and the magnitude of what that meant, we'd all be jumping up and down, even though we're 80 and 90 and 70 years old. Like the full revelation of all that, you couldn't even function in this world. I mean, wow. This is why we have to grow into it, so that we can handle it as we mature. He gives us more. And as we mature, then he gives us more things to do. Things we didn't think we could do. And we keep on, the tests keep on coming, as Fred said. And we keep on being pruned so we bear more fruit. It's a constant, ongoing process. So don't ever think, I'm okay now, I'm doing pretty good, I'm a lot better than I used to be. I could have said that every day of my Christian life, but I choose to be like Paul, and I may be found in Christ, having no righteousness of my own. That's why I've often said, I've grown so much, but I'm still a schmuck. I just say those things to remind me that God has so much more he needs to do in me. There's still so much more for me to do, and I want to be able to handle it in all the humility that I can. And I always try to keep humble, because I don't want anything that God has done. I mean, really, when I stop and think of it, it's really phenomenal to be able to, here I was a drunken pig farmer, and now I'm doing heart seminars for Orthodox priests and bishops and for pastors from all different denominations and Pentecostal pastors. I mean, here they all think I'm weird, but over there, David McGrew went to Ethiopia with me one time. He's the president of CFCM. And I was out ministering someplace in the southern part with Pastor Gay Tenet. And he came a few days later. And so some of Gay Tenet's elders took him from the airport and brought him to Wallisa, which is about an hour and a half drive. And David told me afterwards, he said, gee, Hank, those guys think you're part of the Godhead. Here, I'm the idiot. There, they think I'm part of the Godhead. But they just kept telling Dave how much we had done there, changed them and changed their church and their ministry and everything. And he was just, but I never want that to me, see, it's just God's grace that has done that. He's given me every teaching that I have, every revelation came from the Holy Spirit. I know what I was. I still have a picture in my office of the farm, the pig barns, just to remind me where I came from. And yet, he's allowing me to have an effect on nations, minister to pastors of all different denominations. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Kathy and I couldn't even have dreamed that big or dreamed that much or dreamed that far, that God could do that with us. But he's able to do exceedingly way above what we can imagine or think, isn't he? But we got to be always living for him, always staying humble, always doing the right thing, always sacrificing, serving others because we love him and we serve him. And so it has to become a way of life for us instead of just trying it once a while. I know I'm a pastor and you figure, well, this is your job, you have to do that. Well, it's your calling also. You can't get out of this and say, the pastor has to do that, but not me. And it's so beneficial to us because that's when the kingdom starts to develop in us. So let's look at some other scriptures quickly here. Just 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. And this is talks about the character of Christ and what we are meant to be as his follower. 2 Corinthians 10, 1, Paul says, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. See, by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul was not that meek and gentle before he got saved, was he? He was persecuting the church. And so Paul knew that he needed the character of Christ. He said, when I am weak, then I am strong, because he depended on Christ, and then the power and the strength of God's life was available to him, so then he was strong in his weakness. The world's way of thinking is strong is that I'm bigger than you and meaner than you, so stay out of my way. But by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. But when we're upset, we don't think about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, do we? Because all of our emotions rise up and we can just fly off the handle. So we have to work on these things. Ephesians 4 and 32. Kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. We should never have anger in our heart towards anyone. Do not let the sun go down on your anger or on your wrath. Don't go to bed angry at anyone. Before you go to bed, check your day. Am I ticked off at anybody today? And why am I ticked off? But pray for them, forgive them. And the next morning, first thing you do, buy them a coffee when you go into work. Do something. Do an act of love. Just little things like that is big as we train ourselves to do that. But if you're really ticked off at somebody and they really messed with you, then pray for them, love them until all that anger and resentment leaves. The bigger the sacrifice, the more we grow. Chapter 5, verse 1, we'll read that too. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Do we consciously every morning go about thinking, I'm going to live a life of love? Probably most of us think, I'm going to see if I can get through this day without getting mad at anybody. Do you see the difference? But this is why Paul said, consider yourself dead once and for all to this and alive to this. Wow. Like, this is mind renewal. I'm a new creation. I am a new person. I have a new character. And this is who I am now in Christ, and this is what I'm going to live by faith. Irregardless of anything that happens to me, anybody says anything, it's like I think we have to prepare ourselves every morning before we go out, prepare ourselves during coffee break, prepare ourselves through lunch and the next coffee break, and hope we make it home without messing up too bad. It's sort of the way I used to feel when it came to trying to live this message that is taught. But the greater one is in us. Wow. I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. While you're in the world, you will suffer tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow, wow, wow. So powerful. I guess this is the more you purpose to do that. Prince of the power of the air is here, all his demon forces, and those demons know just which buttons to push in our heart to stop us from serving Christ. And that's spiritual warfare. That's pure. But as we purify our hearts and do this more and more, the less they got to work with, the less they can do. It should be personal to us. No, devil. Shut up, devil. I'm dead to that old person. He doesn't live anymore. I'm alive to Jesus. I'm going to live that life by faith because he died for me. Everything depends on the cross and what Jesus accomplished. Your whole life, your happiness, your joy, your peace, your success, your family, your eternal destiny, your eternal position with God, everything depends on living this life. And we have to think of it that way, or it's not important enough. And the flesh will take over. So you have been crucified with Christ. See, we know all this stuff, we read it, but when we really stop and think about it, it should take on another dimension of importance in our lives. I know this isn't a hip-hop hurrah lesson that can get you too excited, but when you meditate on these things, you know, all of this stuff should come alive during worship. Everything that Jesus has done for you, everything that you are in Christ. Wow. Philippians 2, 5-8. We've just got a few more scriptures here and we'll wrap this up. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. I think this is what has happened to much of the faith message and much of the spirit-filled people. They know who they are in Christ, they're seated with Christ, and there's no condemnation, and they grasp onto that almost in a sense like, I've arrived. No, that's just the position that you have. Don't consider something like that to be grasped, because you still got to live this life to actually experience what you have in Christ. And this is what Jesus did. He did not, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality of God something to be grasped. Jesus didn't walk around on the earth saying, oh man, I gave up heaven for this. This is a real bummer. I got to die for these guys? Are you kidding? I created the universe. My Father in heaven. Wow, I came from heaven. I'll never forget what Jesus said in Egypt that day. And I thought, when I was sort of frustrated and lonely, and dear Lord, what am I doing here? And the Lord said, I left heaven to minister to people in worse condition than this. Boy, I repented in a hurry. I'm sorry, God. Like, you think you're too good to be here? But made himself nothing. Made himself nothing. See, I have everything in Christ. I understand who I am in Christ. And he's done all these wonderful things in the ministry. But I make myself nothing so that I can stay humble and not become prideful because of all that he's done. And then I can think of others as more haughty than I do of myself, because I'm nothing. When I started out, I thought of myself as nothing. Then I found out who I was in Christ, and I had to change my thinking. Hey, I am somebody. But now that I've grown and God has done all these things over 33 years, Now I'm back to thinking of myself as nothing. So somewhere in there I made a transition, which God did by His Spirit as my character developed. See, He knows my character, and He knows that if I didn't think that way, pride could start to take over. And so, where are you at spiritually? Maybe some of you still need to build yourself up in Christ as to who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. Maybe some of you already know all of that and need to be count yourself as nothing so you get more of a servant attitude. I'm trying to get a broad scope of how to apply scriptures to our lives depending where we're at spiritually, depending where we're at with all of this stuff. And if you're full of rejection, you already think of yourself as nothing. You need to know who you are in Christ so that you can have a better self-image of yourself in Him so that you can serve Him. I couldn't even allow my life to go into ministry because I thought God could never use me till I got a revelation of righteousness by faith. This is why the Father is the guard, or He prunes us back. But made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death. Being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death. The Creator of the universe, all things were created to Him. He humbled Himself. He made Himself nothing. This is why He washed the apostles' feet. Even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name. So yes, spiritually, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places because of His sacrifice for us, and He's paid for all of our sins. But we're not going to sit there unless we humble ourselves to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. This is why it's important to understand all these things and understand where are you at, what is God dealing with you, what is the trials you're going through, what is happening in your life. I mean, there should be something happening all the time, one way or the other. And there's times of growing, there's times of ministry, there's times of blessing, there's seasons, so to speak. But where are you? And don't ever let a trial or tribulation, there'd be seasons when you just got to grow for a while. But don't ever let that discourage you and think, oh man, I'm still so carnal. What's wrong with me? No, God's just bringing some stuff to the surface that He wants you to deal with. That's all. But now let's deal with it. And we can do that in joy. We can go through the trial in joy. Not that we're joy is the trial, but for the joy set before us. All right. We better quit there. It's 11:45. And a few more scriptures, but maybe we'll get to them next week. Anyways, I hope this is, I'm just sharing these things with you to try and get or reestablish a solid base in our hearts concerning this subject and that our thinking stays right concerning where we're at in Christ, concerning all of these things. It's difficult as a teacher I tried to explain it in such a way so it's relevant to everyone, but what's relevant to one might not be relevant to the other. But the Holy Spirit will take it and make what is relevant to you at this time and what you're going through. But I want to share the bigger scope because you also have to learn how to minister to others and realize where you're at yourself. It gets so big, the whole spiritual realm and understanding it all and how to minister and all of those things. But anyways, those are the kind of things we'll be sharing in the inner healing and deliverance, just getting a better scope of where people are at. And some people need deliverance before we can disciple them. Some of them need to meditate in the Word before you can do deliverance, all of that stuff. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for such an awesome salvation. Thank You That you and Jesus reveal yourself, make yourself manifest to us in our hearts as we live this life. That we experience you in our hearts. That our relationship with you grows in our hearts. That our hearts accept and experience your life in us. That we can become like you, Father. What an awesome plan. Thank you for suffering for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for enduring your part of enduring the cross and seeing your son suffer, that you did not stop him so that we could be your sons also and your daughters. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you this week in every area of life. Try and think about these things that we teach on Sunday, that it's just not another lesson, but put these things into practice.